John chapter 14 and beginning at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this great passage in the scripture. I pray today that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit as he comes to preach to us from this section of scripture. God, help us to be receptive. Fill us, the listeners, with thy Holy Spirit too, so we'll hear what you have for us. God, please work in our lives and our hearts today. Father, if there be someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that they would trust him today to save them from hell. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The Bible presents God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. We call it the Trinity. It is not Father, Son, Holy Spirit, first, second, third. It is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, separate yet equal. You see, but Pastor, I can't grasp the idea that it's one God in three persons, though. The Muslims believe that we as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, because we believe in the Trinity, that we believe in a multiple of gods. And trying to explain the Trinity to a Muslim is like trying to explain a jackhammer to a monkey. They have a hard time grasping the concept. But to be honest with you, for most Christians, it's a difficult concept. And here's why. Because God's greater than our functional, rational minds. I don't have to understand how God is one God in three persons. I just have to understand that's where the Bible presents him, and that's who he is. It is not Father first, Son second, Holy Spirit last. It is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, same. They are equal, yet separate. And on this earth, in the day in which we live today, the person of the Holy Spirit is God's presence on this earth today. You say, well, if they're equal and they're the same, then the Father and the Son. Yes, I understand that. But we just read in John chapter 14, Jesus talking about the Comforter coming. In fact, in Gospel of John chapter 14, Gospel of John 15 and 16, Jesus talks a great deal about the Holy Spirit. Go over to John 16 just real quickly with me for a moment. I need you to keep your Bibles open. This lesson or message this morning is going to be looking more like a Bible study than a sermon, as it were. And so I'm going to need you to turn in your Bibles with me and follow some verses with me. But in John 16, Jesus, speaking again of the Holy Spirit, says this, nevertheless, verse 7, John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus said, when I go up, the Holy Spirit's going to come down. So now it's important. And this message this morning, I don't know if I'm going to preach the second message tonight or again next Sunday or next Sunday morning. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the person of the Holy Spirit and his working in our lives today. Now listen to me, friend, listen to me. If you are a child of God, your relationship and your fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit in this dispensation, in this age, is going to determine whether or not your Christian life is effective or not. The Bible will say in Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what's happened today because of the Pentecostal and charismatic confusion, a lot of Baptists have stepped back and not talked about the Holy Spirit very much. That's a shame. Sometimes I have people say, well, I hear you talking about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know Baptists even believed in the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Baptists have been preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit, with enablement of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the Holy Spirit's working in our lives since Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. We didn't invent him, but I trust you. I believe you. We've been working by the operation of the Holy Spirit for centuries. But because of the confusion about the person of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, etc., A lot of Baptists have just ignored the person of the Holy Spirit almost completely. We don't do that here. Never have, never will. However, I want us to get it right about who the Holy Spirit is and His working in our life today. My friend, this morning I yielded to the Spirit of God and asked Him to help me today. Every time I stand to teach and preach that book, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to teach it and preach it like I am supposed to. Listen, the person of the Holy, and it's a person. It's not an entity. Some believe that the Holy Spirit is just the presence of God and the entity of God. But Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16 attributed to the Holy Spirit a title, a name, and a personhood. He always refers to the Holy Spirit as He or Him. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is a man or is masculine, but God attributed personhood to Him. So this is not just an entity. This is the person of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about today. And one more time, your Christian life, if it's effective, it's because the Spirit of God is helping you to make it effective. The work of God in our lives is the work of the Holy Spirit through that book, the Bible, to help us to become what God wants us to become. So now let's get it clear this morning. We want to understand who the person of the Holy Spirit is and what it does in this day and age. The Holy Spirit began His work on this earth back at creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And it says in creation that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters in the day of creation. So as much as the Father had part in creation, as much as the Son had part in creation, so did the Holy Spirit. And He began to work and to move on this earth before there was a human being on this earth. He moved on the face of the waters, the Bible says, Genesis 1, 2. Then Old Testament saints knew the working of the Holy Spirit upon themselves or in their lives or upon their lives. David knew the working of the Holy Spirit. Much of the Psalms speaks often of the Spirit of God working in his life. The Bible even tells us that one of the great judges of Israel, a man who was not what you would call a stellar character reference, Samson. It says of Samson more than any man in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God came upon Samson. Old Testament saints knew the working of the Holy Spirit in their life also. But something happened in this and the New Testament age. Jesus made a promise here, and I want you to see this in John 14 now, if you'll turn back there with me, please. In verse 17, Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you," and here it is, "and shall be in you." Something changed in the working of the Holy Spirit after Christ came, and literally after His resurrection. The Spirit of God came to live inside the body of the believer. Now listen to me carefully this morning. So the person of the Holy Spirit, if you're a child of God this morning, the person of the Holy Spirit lives in you. That happened at salvation. Hold your place in the Gospel of John. Please go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to turn in your Bibles now. Turn to these verses. This is very important. Because again, Ephesians chapter 1. We'll come back to John 14 in a second. There's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit today. Again, it comes from the Pentecostal charismatic crowd. They teach all kinds of things about the work and the person of the Holy Spirit and the things that He does that are not even scriptural in many cases. It's all about emotions and about feelings and about experience instead of following the teaching of the Word of God. Now, here's what happens when that sort of thing takes place. Then the real work of the Holy Spirit is missed. When false doctrine is presented, then the truth of that doctrine is missed in the Word of God. So that's why we're having these lessons, these messages on the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, please, this morning, would you? And look there down at Ephesians chapter 1 in verse number 13. Notice what the Bible says here. "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth," or word of truth, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Verse 13 says, after you believe the gospel, after you receive the salvation of the gospel, the Holy Spirit seals you. That means He comes to live inside of you, and He is the seal. In the Bible, the seal is a stamp of ownership. Just like then when they purchase something, you purchase something now, there's a stamp of ownership that's placed on documents to indicate ownership, etc. That's who the Holy Spirit is today. After you receive the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That He died for us, went to the grave, and rose again 3 days later. And in so doing, He purchased salvation with His precious blood. When you believe that that is your hope of salvation, the only way you'll ever get to heaven, and you put your trust in Christ, the Bible says at that moment, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And He not only seals you to ownership, that you belong to God, He seals you and secures you in that salvation. Look at the next verse. We read verse 13. That's when the Holy Spirit comes. You get saved. He comes to live inside of you. How long is this seal? How good is this seal for? How long is it good for? Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Like earnest money, you put down a down payment. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until you live right and do right, until you sin. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. You know when that is? That's when the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Until God comes to claim you, you're sealed until that day. That's why it says in Romans chapter 8, whom He justified, them He also glorified. If you are justified, saved in the sight of God, you will be glorified because the Spirit of God seals you. So your salvation also comes with security. The security of the believer is not a separate doctrine of salvation. It's the same doctrine. You can't have salvation without security. My friend, if your salvation is dependent upon you to receive it from God and then to keep it, we're all hopeless this morning. So the moment you receive Christ, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. He seals you as God's child, and He guarantees you'll stay God's child because of the work. That's why 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says we are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. The moment you're saved, you're as ready for salvation in heaven as you're ever going to be. God seals you, God keeps you, God secures you, God claims you as His own. And listen now, His power guarantees you'll stay in that same saved condition. That's the work of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. That's a wonderful thing this morning. Now, if we're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, let's understand that first of all, and most importantly, to understand His working in our life, you must have the Holy Spirit. It seems like, you know, duh, but the truth is, you need to possess Him. He needs to come inside of your heart and your life and your body. He needs to live inside of you, and that takes place at salvation. See, here's the problem. Do you know why there are all these religions in the world today? I'm talking Christian religions. There's 1,200 of them today that call themselves Christian religions, call the name of Christ, talk about Jesus. Do you know why there's so many of them? Do you know why so many of them are so different? Because lost people came to this book and tried to determine and draw truth from it without the author of the truth inside of them. And so consequently, they take this book and they butcher the Bible. And make it say things it does not say. Or in most cases, they can't even just stay with the Bible. They have to have another book. They can't just have the authority of the Bible itself. They have to have an attachment to that. Or another one. Or their own writings. Or their own interpretation of what this says. We'll get to it in just a moment. The Holy Spirit's the teacher of the book. So for a person, listen, to understand the working of the Holy Spirit of God, they have to have Him inside of them. You have to possess the Holy Spirit. That happens at salvation. The moment you believe the gospel, trust Christ for your salvation, the Bible says He seals you and comes to live inside of you. And He lives inside of the believer. And then what does He do? Back to John chapter 14, please. Then this person of the Holy Spirit living inside of us that we receive only at salvation, He becomes a comforter. John chapter 14, notice it again what Jesus said, please. Verse 16, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. You know the word another there in verse number 16 means another of exactly the same kind? It doesn't mean another one of a different type. It means another of exactly the same kind. Jesus said He'll be just like me when He comes. Another comforter. The word comforter in the Bible comes from a word that means a one who comes along beside you. You ever feel like you're all alone in this world? You know, you can be completely alone in a room full of people. Did you know that? The Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is a paraclete, is the word. It means one who comes beside you, walks along with you, one who assures you. I was thinking about my grandmother the other day, my dad's mom. She was the ultimate encourager. Now, she could read you the riot act when you needed it, but she was the ultimate encourager. And when they lived here in our area for a while before she went to heaven, I enjoyed the times I got to sit and talk with her. Because it seemed like no matter what, whenever I left her presence, I always left encouraged. She was that one who would just come along beside you. Now, sometimes she would encourage you almost to a fault. You know how grandmothers are. Yes? They can find something encouraging about no matter what a kid does. A grandchild. Now, their kids. Forget that. I'm talking grandchildren now. Can I get a witness from the grandparents this morning? You're right, you know, you write your own kids off, but the grandchildren, they're practically flawless. And everything that a grandchild does is brilliant. Most grandparents think their children are like genius level, when the truth is, and I hate to bust your bubble, Grandma, they're just average kids, okay? They're not that exceptional. All these grandmas out there going, he doesn't know my grandson. He doesn't know my granddaughter. My grandmother was, seriously, if I went in McDonald's with a Uzi and sprayed the place down, she'd say, nice target range. You know, that's the way she kind of would have been, a nice grouping. You know, she was almost to a fault. But now she's been in heaven for a while. But there's one who comes along beside us. Listen now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. Our grandson Joel spent the night with us here a while back. About 4:30 in the morning, he's calling me. Gramps! Gramps, he's three. Gramps, come here, Gramps! I went in there, I said, what, son? He goes, when I cough, breath comes out of my mouth. I said, get Gramps up at 4:30 again, ain't no breath coming out of your mouth. You understand? Be quiet. And go back to sleep. Okay. And he just turned over and went back to sleep. Just wanted to give me the breath report, you know. We all think they're brilliant. We all think there's something amazing about them. As much as people can be a comfort to us in life, do you know that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm going to send you another one who's going to walk along beside you. I'm not saying that we pray to the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we need to magnify the Holy Spirit. We won't get to the part of the message this morning. The Bible even says he wouldn't come to speak of himself. It's not the point to exalt the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit here is to exalt Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But to listen, our friend, but he is there to walk along. That's the presence of the Lord in your life when you read this word. Read the Bible and you need comfort and strength and grace. It's the Spirit of God who helps you see another passage like you never saw it before. And you read it many times and you see something and you go, that's for me today. That's God's word for my life today. Because he's the comforter. Number two, he's the teacher. You see that in John chapter 14, please, this morning. Look at verse number 26, please. And Jesus said this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's the instructor of this book. Go to 1 John chapter 2 real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quickly, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit of God is the teacher of that book. I have commentaries in my library and I have books that help me to study the Bible in languages and all that sort of stuff. And of course, I went to Bible college and took 2 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew, from which I've been successfully delivered in my life. And all that kind of stuff. You know, it's amazing the studies you have. And now with the internet, my soul, you just Google something 52,000 different people will give you their opinion on what the Bible says and what this verse says and what this word means and what this place is and all these sort of things. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, long before Google, there was a day. Before Google, there was a day. Long before some guy sitting in a dusty seminary somewhere writing what he thought God said and put it in a book for preachers to read and to follow, long before commentaries were written, long before anything else, all the people used to have was just a Bible. That's all they had. And the Spirit of God living inside of them. And here's what they got. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Great verse, nothing to do with heaven whatsoever. I like it to apply it that way. But look at verse 10. Here's what it means. But God hath revealed them. What? The things of God. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Read on, verse 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But by the way, look at verse 14. But the natural man, that's a lost person. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's why these religions tell you there is no burning hell. That's why these religions tell you that there's this new revelation. That's why these religions tell you things that are contrary to what the Word of God teaches. Because they're natural people in their unsaved condition trying to determine by the Bible what they think the Bible says instead of following what the Holy Spirit says through the Word of God. The Spirit of God teaches us this thing. Now look, I've got all these books in my library, and if you want to see my personal library sometime, come by. I only charge you $5 to take the tour. It'll take you 5 seconds. You'll walk in, look at it, and go, this is it? Yep, that's it. Years ago, a preacher friend of mine came, and I think I've told you this before. He came and said, can I see your library? I'd like to see your library. And I said, you mean the one we have at church? He said, no. Your personal library. I said, okay. He'd been to seminary. Unfortunately, he'd been messed with. And he wanted to see it. So he came by and I said, well, I have it at the house. I've always worked in the garage. That's just where I work. And so he comes by and I take him into my little office I built in my garage. And he looks at it and he goes, these are all your books, huh? I said, yeah. He pulled a commentary out and he went, and he blew the dust off of it. He goes, you don't use this Matthew Henry commentary very much? And I said, He goes, well, what do you use when you prepare a lesson or a message? I reached over on my desk and I picked up my King James Bible and I said, one of these? So you know what's sad today? We have people who really don't believe that they can understand the Bible because they don't have Dr. Reverend Wiggalips up there teaching them what the Greek and the Hebrew says. I'm sorry, before Dr. Reverend Wiggalips ever messed with anybody, God's people used to just take this book right here and with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them say, listen now, listen. Say, Father, I want the truth. Quit looking for answers and start looking for the truth. I want the truth. The Bible said, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Listen now, the Holy Spirit of God will teach you this book. He'll help you to understand it. Hopefully what you have is a man of God filled with the Spirit of God, teaching the Word of God to people filled with the Spirit of God who are taking the same Word of God with the same desire for the truth. And it's the Spirit of God that does the work between what's preached and taught and what's heard and what's received, because the Spirit will teach you these things. Listen, folks, we're Baptists here. We're not Catholics. We're not Protestants. We don't believe that whatever the man of God says when he stands in the pulpit, that's the truth. We don't go with that stuff. That's cultic, by the way. We just simply take the book and say, okay, here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Scripture reads. Here's what I believe God's given us from this. You listen, ask the Spirit of God to help you get it, and he'll teach you the truth. I'm not saying it'll make you a theologian. I'm not saying we'll all be at the same level of our understanding. I'm saying this. If you ever got the truth out of this book, it was the Spirit of God that helped you get that, because he's the teacher of the truth. Go to John chapter 16 quickly this morning. You know what else the Holy Spirit does besides a comforter and a teacher? He's also a reprover. John chapter 16 now, please. Look there, please. And look down at verse number 7 again. We read it a moment ago, but look at it now. Nevertheless, I tell you, John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, look. And when he is come, this is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He'll reprove. Look what it says, verse 8, sin, righteousness, and judgment. Kind of different in a lot of our churches today, isn't it? Now you go to church and you're encouraged by entertainment, frothy little sermons, little stuff that's said, never aims at anything, never hits it. The Bible says if the Holy Spirit's doing His job, He'll reprove. That means convict. He'll point out the fact that if there's sin in my life, I need to do something about that. Oh, by the way, and He'll also reprove me of righteousness. That means He'll say, hey, here's what you should do. Isn't it interesting how you go to church, you listen to a sermon, and when you left, what you got out of it really wasn't about what the sermon was. It was about what you needed to be doing or not doing. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says He'll reprove us of judgment, which means if you don't stop doing the wrong and won't start doing the right, there are consequences. Ah, that's a wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Go back to talking about the Comforter, Pastor Johnson. I like that part better. I like the teaching part where I can learn some things. I just don't want anybody to mess with my living. Guy came and visited our church, stayed about 3 or 4 weeks, went by to visit him. He said, I'm not going back to church anymore. He says, I never feel good about myself when I leave there. He said, I don't go to church and feel bad. I go to church so I can feel good about myself. While he sat there and just looking at the way he was living his life, I thought to myself, shouldn't feel good about the way you're living, pal. He said, you said that to him? No, the Holy Spirit did it for 4 Sundays when he came. But he didn't want to listen to that. Look at me. See, I want him to comfort me, the Holy Spirit of God. I needed that this morning. As I sat out there in the cool of the morning at about 90 degrees, I had my Bible out. And the Spirit of God just came and comforted my heart and my soul, came right along beside me. Oh, good start of the day this morning. Good start. Then I opened the Bible and I began to read it, and God began to teach me some things, and I was getting some instruction, and that was a blessing. And then the Spirit of God says, now before you can be used today, here's what you need to get right. And look at me, as much as I need His arm around me to comfort me, as much as I need His illumination to understand the truth of this word, I need Him to tell me when I'm out of line. Listen, thank God we don't leave church feeling good about ourselves if something's not right. We don't need to feel good about that. We need to get right. That's important, you see. Thank God He doesn't leave us alone about doing what we ought to do with our lives and getting right about the things of our lives. Thank God He doesn't leave us alone. See, I'm afraid. What I fear more than anything else is the Spirit of God no longer working in my life. Now, this may surprise you, but I'm a knucklehead, ladies and gentlemen, and I need God to work me over. See, He says, whom He didn't foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God is trying to make us like Jesus, and I'm so far from there, He's got a lot of work to do. So there's things He's going to have to take out of my life, and things He's going to have to put into my life, and things He's going to have to remove and tear some things down and build some things up. If He ever stops working on me, I'm in big trouble. So are you. I like it when He comforts me. I'm blessed when He teaches me, and I have to have Him working in my life. A reprover. He doesn't give me any space. You ever feel like sometimes God picks on you? Huh? All these other people do this stuff, and you go, whoop, I just got a bad attitude driving down the road and I got in trouble with God. Look at this guy. Somebody cut me off in traffic. I got upset. Next thing I know, I got problems. What's the deal with that? This guy's over here. What in the world? You know, I don't know about how God works in these people's lives. I know what? I'm glad he doesn't give me much. I'm glad he doesn't give me very long rope to hang myself with. I'm glad he doesn't let me mess up. I'm glad he doesn't let me get far. I'm glad he doesn't let me step out. I'm glad he doesn't let me get away from him very much without his pulling on my heart in my life. And when I need it, I'm glad he kicks me in the back of the seat of my pants so bad I'm wearing it for a hat. I'm glad God reproves me. Because, see, that's his working too. Now, friend, this morning, let's understand the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's understand how he works in our lives. And most importantly, yield to the Spirit of God. As you read his word, you hear it preached and taught, there's something you should do, then just step up and do it. That's God working in your life. That's a good thing. That's a blessed thing in our lives. That means, as the little song says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me. How about you? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.